podcast is brought to you by the Microsoft Partner Team in Switzerland to give you an insight into our diverse partner landscape and how those partnerships can benefit your business. We invite one Microsoft partner in every episode to deep dive their offering and how the joint value proposition benefits our customers. We want to provide information beyond the flashy marketing and PR material and do a deep dive into actual content. Please like, share, and subscribe. I want to introduce our hosts, myself, I'm Thomas Winter, I'm the partner lead at Microsoft Switzerland, and Philippe Moraz, channel sales lead at Microsoft Switzerland. Today, it's our honor to welcome Ogi Stanovcic, general manager cloud at Open Systems to our podcast. Hi, Ogi. Great to have you here this afternoon.
Hi, Ogi. Also from my side, happy to have you here.
Hi, Thomas. Hi, Philippe. Great pleasure to be here. I'm a big fan of Digitizer.
Thanks so much. Thank you. Then you know how this works. So I'll do a few questions about you and the company, and then Philippe goes a bit deeper in the actual value proposition. Let's kick it off. Please tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you as a person?
Thank you. As a person, well, first and foremost, I'm a very proud father of two daughters and a husband. I'm an engineer by training, generally just a curious and a social person, although the later became a little bit useless in 2020. But apart from that, I work at Open Systems. I'm very passionate about cybersecurity, and I'm passionate about supporting Aladdin Foundation. That is a charity that I'm in active.
Fantastic. And Open Systems is a bit based in the US, a bit based here, but you live here in Switzerland, right?
I live here in Switzerland. Open Systems is headquartered in Switzerland and in the US, and quite globally, we have people on various continents, different countries, and we love it.
Well, that's a good segue. Who are you as a company? Open Systems.
Open Systems is a cybersecurity company and have been focused on that for 30 years, which is a very long time in this space. And keeping that focus was very, very important. We, as mentioned, work globally. We worked with global organizations and enterprises and work very closely with Microsoft.
Fantastic. How do you share any number of employee or revenue sizes, or are you privately held or public? Or
we are privately held, 350 people serving customers in 180, I would have to look, probably 384 countries around the globe, doing this always as a service, managed around the clock, 24/7, providing services to connect, protect, detect, and respond to threats that our customers may face. Wherever the customer's locations, people, systems, users may be, we protect them. That's what we do.
Fantastic. Now, why are you at Open Systems of any companies in the world?
Thank you. I've been with Open Systems for a very long time, more than two decades. And I'm very passionate about cybersecurity, and I found my home at Open Systems. I love the topic. I love the company. I love the technology. But more than anything else, I love the people, my colleagues, customers, and partners. And that makes it really just a huge pleasure every day to get to work and do good.
That's so refreshing to hear somebody's genuinely happy with the professional world he's in. So thanks for sharing those bits. That's the time where I hand over to Philippe to pull out the microscope and go a bit deeper into the business value proposition. Philip, over to you.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Hi, Ogi. So, you know, I went on your website and then there's a slogan there, any user, anywhere, on any device. Can you please elaborate a little bit? What do you mean?
Yes, that's really it. It's about protecting what's really valuable for the customers. And you can't say, well, I'm protecting you if you do this and that. Wherever they are, whatever they use, whatever systems they are, this has to happen. And whether it's connect with zero trust models, with encryption, bringing them safely into the cloud, into their locations, into whatever they want to do, and protecting them so they can freely do what they intended to do and not have to look over their shoulders at all times. So absolutely, yes.
wherever it is.
Okay, so let's dive a little bit a level deeper. Mm-hmm. So your portfolio of managed services covers technology stack management, hardware and software lifecycle management, and log ingestion management. Sounds very, very sophisticated. Please explain in general, what are those services?
Well, if you look at it like that, and I think it would be easier to think about it in two broad categories. Secure Access Service Edge, this is the part where you connect and protect the users' systems. How do they get from wherever they are, from their locations, into Azure, into the cloud, into their offices? If they're working from home, how will they work safely and coming there? That's one part of that. And the other part of that is what we refer to extended or managed detection and response or extended detection and response, which is really the part about detect and protect. So live monitoring and watching what it is. All of them, they require different components, different technologies. What's lifecycle management? You want to keep whatever the users have has to be state of the art at all times. So if it's in the cloud, it comes automatically. If they, for the pieces that have to come or run on the customer premise or where the users are, have to maintain that. So it's really all about making sure that service is always up to date, gives a standard, gives a modern global organization a coherent security and protection without these gaps and different things. Of course, you need logs. Of course, you need all these. So you really just need people, skills, good technology, and ability to protect. Hugely. That's very, very important in both aspects. Well, first of all, just overnight, everything that was office and when they thought about this perimeter, all of a sudden that changed. It became, you know, people were sent home. You have to do that. So how do they connect? What is the secure, safe way to do that? How do I ensure their identities and all that? Very important piece. But the other part of that is with that whole move, the whole threat landscape has changed. There are sadly enough people who are abusing that on the dark side of things, more attacks, more things. So also the need to monitor that, to have new ways of identifying these attacks became very, very important. And we have seen a lot. So my colleagues and me have been working more since the COVID than ever before.
What are the topics when you're having a conversation with a customer that come up?
That's a great question, Philip. And this is really, we talk about it a lot with our customers, with peer groups and companies. At first, you have to just protect them from the direct damages that cyber threats can do to them. So nobody wants to, you know, wake up in the morning and have ransomware in the network and all that. So that's one piece. But the other part is just as important. And I'll come to very much to your topic, because the other piece, which is just as important, is the amazing opportunities that many companies are not getting and grabbing because of fears or concerns around security, compliance. Where is this going to be? Somewhere and in the cloud, and it's not going to be there. So that's the piece that is very exciting, and it's not just chasing some malware or some attacks, but it's really conceptually and speaking to executives and giving them that confidence. It requires trust by organizations to move there and to unleash that power of the cloud. So this is where we start. What are the concerns? How to build proper landing zones, proper cloud adoption frameworks, governance. And once this is done, it's the real nice thing about it is you get security, business, IT, all on the same page. And at that point, companies can start growing their footprint, doing new things, exciting things, exploring new possibilities in a very secure way.
On the opportunities that are out there when they're using the cloud, and they don't have to worry about any security issues or remote access issues they might encounter, because that's what open systems will take care of.
Exactly. You want to have a built-in security, compliance, and governance so that you don't have to rely on knowledge users. Will somebody who knows it or doesn't know it break that chain? So whatever can be baked into that fabric will be taken off. Having said that, that doesn't mean that you can just say, well, there's no need for anybody to do anything security on the customer side. On the contrary, we need to work closely together. It's the IT team, security team, and so on that will get the support, get the expertise, do it right. But you always have that next step. How does that land in that organization? Are the right stakeholders on board to really understand that? And once you have all that, yes, it's wonderful.
How do your solutions and services build on the platform of Microsoft?
So generally on two sides. One is on the first part, Connect and Protect, where we have the Azure in this as a centerpiece, Azure backbone, and then that whole part about connecting and protecting, that's one side. But the one that is really exciting and very unique in the market is the second part, when you speak about detect and respond, manage detection and response. We have been looking for a very long time for a solution that allows us to provide a scalable, fast, efficient way to protect our customers, to run queries across multiple customers without ever compromising the ownership of their data. And Microsoft came up with Azure Sentinel, and equally important, but often not quite so loudly heard in the media, is Azure Lighthouse. The combination of these two things allows a scalable operation while customer data always stays with the customer in their tenant, in any geo that they wish to have. And that then combined with the Defender family, with the E5 stack on Microsoft, that gives an incredible power from technology platform and from the operational aspects of that.
This is Thomas in post-production. The next question that Philip was asking somehow got lost in translation. So even we face technical glitches every here and there. So Philip was asking, Ogi, what is the actual added value of open systems and also how they compare to other companies in the market? Back to Ogi.
So I would dispute that there's other companies like that out there. No, it's really unique. And what the added value is, there's many elements of why to do that. But what really counts is what are the outcomes? What are the outcomes for customers? There's a lot of talk in our sphere of work about alerts and this and that and found. But you don't want alerts. You want outcomes. You want to be protected. You want everybody at all time may be exposed, is exposed, and something can happen. This is the first postulate that we do. It all comes down to how prepared are you? Can you detect that? And can you do something about it? And that is really it. And that takes many, many things. It takes great technology, great focus on getting the best talent in the world to work on that and do that day and night. And we have from Malcolm Gladwell says, to become an expert, you have to have 10,000 hours of doing whatever you are doing. But when you put that into a shared consciousness of hundreds of people working on that, on machine learning algorithms that, you know, Microsoft has the biggest investment in security in the world, to grasp that and then work on top of that and tune that to, for each one of our customers to have these machine learning models adopted to their environment. And through that, train these systems, through that, get this visibility, and finally get the outcomes, that is huge.
Great. So you as a company, do you target specific segments of customers? I mean, when I say segments, only bigger enterprises or any size of customers?
So our typical customers are in the enterprise and mid-market segment. We have customers in the financial services industry, in manufacturing, chemicals, all the way to international agencies, UN agencies that get protection in very remote locations as well as in the very central locations in the very same way. So we are very proud of our customers and what we do with them. And more importantly, we have learned so much from them that has made the company what it is today. So in terms of segments, there are some specialties when you speak about different verticals, whether it's from the compliance side or from the way that they have to do things. That's one side. And then size, yeah, from several thousands to 100,000 users, everything is there.
So when you're talking to customers, who are your typical people, roles that you talk to within a company? So who would be mostly interested in what you have to offer and say?
That's another great question. And there's a couple of roles that are really relevant depending on the topic there. Obviously, chief information security officers or chief cybersecurity officers are one. But then chief information officers, or sometimes it's somebody who is in charge of digital space for the customers. It comes from different sides. And the real nice thing about it is really getting them on the same page. So when you speak about it, you, Philip, you've used the example in the past, somebody wants to go into the cloud. They're doing, typically this comes from the business need, or maybe a manufacturing tool with operational technology, IoT, whatever comes there. But then to have infrastructure people, security people, business people on the same page, this is really cool and this is relevant. So those would be the roles: chief information security officer, infrastructure, cloud architects.
Great. So before we mention COVID, right, that COVID had an impact on your business, that there was a rise in need of what you have to offer. What is your prediction for post-COVID?
So I'm very careful with giving predictions about how COVID and everything else changes that. But I think what we are observing is really the way that people work is changing permanently. This is not just us observing, but many people, you can read about that, what it is, how are companies preparing for that next phase of reinventing and everything that's going on there. And I think cloud, zero trust models, all of that is really in the center of it all. I really do believe it's not going to be relevant where I work from, and I should not feel differently, safe or unsafe. If I'm sitting in an internet cafe, I'm really looking forward to that. Sit and work once like that in the sun. But I should not be less protected because of that or have less access to whatever I do. Thomas.
Yeah, that is a really good point, right? That's the moment where we should mention that we're recording this podcast mid-May. So anything you project during this time can age really great or really badly. So that's probably a good one to mention at this time. But yeah, it will be super interesting the next few months, right? What of the changes we experience are cyclical and which ones are structural, right? What will actually remain that way and what will just bounce back? And that's super fascinating and terrifying if you happen to be a commercial real estate holder. Thank you.
I fully agree, Thomas, with that. And I think another piece of that is that the concepts and the services that both Microsoft and Open Systems are in have, you don't build that for the situation right now and that may expire. These concepts have to be such and both flexible and long-term to be valid. Concepts that we are using now in a very general term, we have been applying 20 years ago, standardization, using that. Now, sometimes it's more central, sometimes more decentral, sometimes it's on-prem, sometimes it's cloud. But the way that this is delivered should be flexible enough that whichever way that goes, customers don't get less protection or lesser service.
That's a great segue into my next question. Open Systems and Microsoft are partners, and in good partnerships, sometimes you win together and sometimes you lose together. But sometimes you also compete. Any thoughts around the context of competition with Microsoft or to Microsoft?
So a lot of thoughts about many of these. Let me first come to the first part of your question. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. We love wins. Nobody likes to lose. But I think there's a third element there that's especially related also to what we spoke about before. There's the win, there's the lose, or there's snooze. And this is the piece that I care most about. So often you will come into organizations where you see cloud enthusiasts who really see that potential. And it just takes a while to get all these stakeholders, to get every, you know, to what we spoke about before, to get on the same page in doing that. We always joke about that somebody that I find really funny once told me, may you not be alone when you see aliens. And I think sometimes you feel people, somebody in an organization sees this huge potential, but they're alone. And this is the ones we care about. And Microsoft and Open Systems together support these people or groups to really show that whole path there. So that's the piece about win, lose, and snooze. And let's help the snooze ones more than anything else. In terms of competition, partnership and competition, I love to say we don't compete. And we really do not, but it wasn't always like that. We actually had parts in our services that we didn't even realize are competing with our counterparts at Microsoft on a completely different topic. So that's what partnership is about. And this is what, when you speak to your partner development managers so many times that Cortana gets confused about what is internal meeting or external meeting that you speak to them, that's when you find out and that's when you take measures. And that's what a real partnership is about. You can't just always be born a perfect match, but if you're in a real partnership where you're committed, then that grows together. And today I'm very, very happy and very proud to really say we don't compete and our customers feel that and see that. So that's one part. Obviously, we try to attract the same talents globally. And that's, I wouldn't even call that compete. But yes, it's people, probably the best person I ever worked with in my whole career is with Microsoft now. Some of the best people I work with now came from Microsoft. So in terms of attracting talent, yes, we compete, but on the same, for the same cause.
How would you envision us working best together? Would you say we're already at a level that is great in terms of co-selling? So Microsoft and Open Systems work as partners also when it comes to co-selling? Or are there any wishes out there where you say, if we would do this and this in the interest of our customers, then that would bring us a notch further?
So this is really a moment to pass the compliment to you, to your teams, and to Microsoft, because it's really, you know, you see this in the industry. So, but this level of partnership and the models that we have together, you mentioned co-sell, that is amazing. That is really, that's a true investment in partnership, and it works. When you do that, obviously, there's always possibilities for some optimization. Oh, how could we get, you know, the better pricing of whatever, you know, or portals make it easier and whatever. And it's all there, but that becomes so irrelevant when you see how truly in every location in the world where we do things together with customers, how this works together. I absolutely love it. My colleagues love it. The executives love it. Partners at Microsoft, account executives, enterprise channel managers, it really works. And then more than anything else, our customers are saying, so good to see you together at the table or working together for the benefit of getting us the best solution possible. And that drives this partnership.
Ogi, thank you very much. With that, back to you, Thomas.
Thank you very much for that. It was great having you this afternoon.
Thank you very much also. Love
that. Thank you, Ogi, for the partnership. Thanks a lot.